In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The secret for the Mass of Thursday in the first week of Lent. May these sacrifices, we beseech thee, O Lord, which we offer fasting unto thee, mercifully save us by thy grace. We take the opportunity today to review with you a very important point which was brought up the other night in adult theology, but all of you were not present for that. So I take this opportunity now. The thing that strikes us if we are following the Missal well during Lent is the difference between the secret and the other two prayers, or indeed even from the other prayer which is added during Lent, the prayer over the people. I explained that to you last week. And now, to speak about the secret, the one thing we notice right away that's different is, first of all, that it is said silently, hence the name secret. This does not mean by the word secret that it is something that others are not supposed to know, necessarily. The word secret, especially when referred to in Latin and in the rubrics of the Missal, means softly in a very low voice. But the other thing that we notice as a difference between the secret and the other prayers is that they are said immediately after the priest says, Oremus, let us pray. He turns to the people, says, Dominus vobiscum, and after that says, Oremus, and then proceeds to pronounce that prayer. The collect is the first of these, and the collect is the prayer that sums up, as it were, the theme of the day for the Mass. The post-communion is a prayer of thanksgiving after we have received Holy Communion. The prayer over the people contains its own invocation that I explained to you last week, but is for a further prayer of petition before the ending of the Mass. The secret, though, it would seem, is not preceded by Oremus, so it seems at first. This would not be quite correct, however, for there is an Oremus that goes before it. It is the Oremus at the very beginning of the offertory. What we see then when we examine this part of the Mass is that after the Gospel, or after the sermon, or after the creed at certain Masses, the priest will turn to the people and say Dominus vobiscum. After that, he will turn and bow to the cross, saying Oremus, let us pray. And it would seem then that this might be the logical place for them, him then to say this prayer, which is called the secret. And in fact, in former times it was. That is when he would proceed immediately to that prayer. Over time, however, other prayers intervened as this part of the Mass called the offertory became more and more elaborate, getting to the point where it is today in our Mass. And the way it is structured today goes back at least to the 13th century. Thomas Aquinas would have known this part of the Missal the same way that we do. And even then, it goes long before that, just not perhaps quite in the same order with the prayers, perhaps with one or two prayers missing. Nevertheless, many prayers have intervened between this Oremus and this part called the secret, such that today we could scarcely imagine the offertory being otherwise. So important are these prayers which we pronounce between that Oremus and the secret, where the whole propitiatory nature of the sacrifice is made so clear as the gifts, that is, the bread and the wine are on the altar, but already being treated as a victim, for that is what they are called already during the offertory, even though the consecration has yet to take place. This Oremus, though, is nevertheless connected to this prayer called the secret, even if other prayers have since intervened, including the procession with the bread and wine by the subdeacon, all the blessings that are given, the incensation of the altar, and so forth. Once all these things are completed, and once finally the priest bids farewell, as it were, to his flock, as he turns around in a full circle, saying, Orate fratres, pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be made acceptable to God the Father Almighty. He does this, turning around fully and then turning back to the altar. It is, as I say, a sort of farewell, because it is at this point that he enters into the Holy of Holies, not to return until the sacrifice is completed. And it is at this point, then, at long last, that he pronounces this prayer called the Secret. Today is a beautiful example to give for this lesson. For again, the prayer reads, "May these sacrifices, we beseech thee, O Lord, which we offer fasting unto thee, mercifully save us by thy grace." This prayer is very simple. It is a perfect example of the beautiful Roman austerity, which we find in so many of these prayers. You might suppose that this is the shortest example we could have of this prayer over the gifts, this oratio super oblata, which is what it was called in former times before the name Secret was adopted, due to the fact that the priest, now having entered into the Holy of Holies, pronounces this prayer very quietly over the gifts. But it expresses to us exactly what we are to learn about this prayer, that while it is a prayer over the gift, over the victim that will become our true sacrifice at the moment of the consecration, it also brings with it something of the theme of the day. And that is what we find throughout the year. The Secret always brings with it something that connects it with the collect especially, but also with the post-communion, reminding us of the theme for the day. The theme, however, at this time of year, day after day, is the same: the importance of the works of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, which is why this theme is invoked now over the gifts, with a formulation which is somewhat interesting, the way it speaks about quae medicinalibus sunt instituta iuniis. It would seem to read, actually, literally in the Latin, that these sacrifices are instituted by means of these medicinal fastings. It is not by means of the fasting, of course, that we have this sacrifice. It is by institution of our Lord Jesus Christ. However, the meaning here is that these sacrifices, which we are offering now in the state of fasting, may by means of that fasting save us through the grace of Christ. The theme of today's Mass, as we find again and again throughout Lent, is that what should take the place, and this we have especially during this first week of Lent, what should take the place of the joys we take in eating should be the fruit of good works, that the works of charity, the works of mercy we perform to others should be our food during these 40 days. It is these works of mercy which should fill us up and make us feel truly satisfied and joyful. This more lasting joy, replacing the joy that we normally take in food and drink. It is by this means that we should be able to ascend to God in our prayers throughout Lent and obtain the graces necessary for our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.